across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
There are hopes that we are at the final days of the COVID-19 pandemic with more signs of life and of reopenings and life perhaps resuming some sense of pre-pandemic normalcy. But this has left a lot of deep scars and also raised a lot of lessons, especially when it comes to supply chains across Southeast Asia. We saw trade in Southeast Asia blunted significantly during the course of the last 2 years, and also some deep-seated vulnerabilities also revealed by the COVID-19 pandemic. However, this could actually yield a number of opportunities to improve and perhaps pandemic-proof, for lack of a better term, some of the supply chains here in the ASEAN region. And this is something that the folks at Kearney brought up in a recent report called the Digital Supply Chains in Southeast Asia or in ASEAN region. Today on Across the ASEAN, we are pleased to be joined by Chui Lee, who's a partner at Kearney and one of the authors of the report, The Digital Supply Chains in ASEAN, to talk to us about what are some of the lessons and vulnerabilities we've learned about Southeast Asia's integrated supply chains and what sort of opportunities there are to improve them and perhaps even pandemic-proof them in the future. Chui Lee, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome to the show. We're glad to have you, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, JP. Glad to be here.
All right. So let's take a step back and to also take a regional snapshot of ASEAN trade and supply chains before the pandemic. Just how big has ASEAN trade grown, and what were the factors that might have driven this growth?
ASEAN trade has grown tremendously and almost has quadrupled in the past few decades. And there are a few reasons for the increase of inflow and outflow of trade in the ASEAN region in the recent years, JP. Mm-hmm. One, as the consumption market in ASEAN becomes bigger, more companies are investing in their businesses in Southeast Asia. This has caused more investment in manufacturing to support the local demand and import of products for the consumption and the consumers in the markets in these countries. Second, recent global events such as the decoupling of U.S. and China has resulted in companies shifting some of its production activities and assets to Southeast Asia. Countries in ASEAN that have benefited the most from this, at least to date, would be Malaysia, Singapore, and Vietnam. And this is not an overnight phenomenon. In fact, Forbes did a survey of executives in 2018, so 4 years ago, and found that at that point, 20% of companies were already considering or actively moving production to Southeast Asia from other parts of the world. So Southeast Asia is attractive for companies who are looking to relocate their production activities. It's well positioned in terms of freight routes. It ranks high on ease of doing business, and it offers access to important resources like raw materials and talent. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned COVID, and I hope that we are in a post-pandemic world. It's to be seen. But I think COVID has further accelerated the trend of production relocation, with companies thinking about decentralization as part of their supply chain strategies. And Southeast Asia has benefited from this, given both the importance of the region as a destination for its products and services, and also a source, given its capabilities in the region.
So the COVID-19 pandemic may have accelerated some of these trends, but we have to admit also the last 2 years has been rather challenging and maybe sometimes even painful for ASEAN supply chains and supply chains, especially the resulting supply chain snarls, you name it, from Malaysia to Thailand to Vietnam, the Philippines. We saw a lot of evidence of this hitting a number of industries, not just in the region, but also globally. Given we do have the luxury of hindsight now, what do you think were some of the biggest weaknesses and vulnerabilities revealed over the last 2 years for the supply chains here in Southeast Asia that can perhaps form a basis from which we can improve on?
Yep, great question. Hindsight is always always good. I think the COVID-19 pandemic, and not only the pandemic, but other geopolitical disruptions as well, have exposed the real vulnerabilities of global supply chains. And I think the other worrying factor is the increasing frequency and intensity of both supply and demand-driven disruptions that are really destabilizing flow of products and services. And these all require new types of capabilities and supply chain strategies. Kearney, in collaboration with the World Economic Forum last year, released a report on navigating global value chain disruptions. In that report, we interviewed over 400 senior operations executives across industry verticals, and found that only 12% of companies felt that they were sufficiently prepared to manage future supply chain volatility. So I think there are three key themes that emerge as common weaknesses that companies are actively addressing today. Number one, there was absolutely no preparation at all for the disruption. And when the disruptions hit, companies just did not have the procedures, the expertise, or even the ability to think about how best to respond to these disruptions. Number two, over the past few years, companies have been uber focused on cost. While this has resulted in really lean, efficient operations and value chains, the downside to this is that it has also resulted in a lot of inflexible supply chains. As a result, the risk resiliency and sustainability of supply chains has been an area of underinvestment over recent years. And so the third part is just insufficient scenario planning for companies and operators to develop clear strategies, inform future decision making so that when disruptions do happen, plans are already in place. People have already thought about that and they know how to act. And I think when the pandemic first hit, number one, companies weren't even sure if they needed to act immediately. And number two, if they had to act, they didn't know what to do. So companies are certainly investing a lot of time and effort in this regard now.
Mm-hmm. We're still speaking to Tree Lee, partner at Kearney, today on Across the ASEAN, talking about the recent report on digital supply chains in ASEAN. Ms. Tree Lee, I'd like to shift from hindsight now to looking at supply chains in the future for the Southeast Asian region. And you mentioned four eyes as being major factors. I want to divide these into two sets. One, which I call the hardware eyes that you described, infrastructure and information technology. What roles do these two eyes, or which I call hardware eyes, play in these ASEAN supply chains of the future as Kearney envisions them?
Yeah, it's simple. To support greater trade flow in ASEAN, ASEAN countries need to be able to offer companies and investors the capacity and capability to manage these physical flows. Infrastructure such as smart ports, telecommunications infrastructure is critical for companies when they make decisions on where to invest production assets. So you need to convince them before they even, have the first dollar invested in ASEAN that you have the ability to support this from the physical infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. The other two eyes strike me now as being softer in nature. You identified individuals and institutional reforms. These seem a little bit more difficult to cultivate than, say, setting up a new port or building an IT infrastructure, for instance. Yeah. But how important and how much more challenging or complicated might it be to actually develop these two particular eyes or factors that you've identified?
This is indeed much more difficult and requires much more coordination, not only amongst the ASEAN countries, but more importantly, amongst the ecosystem players like the government, education institutions, and the private sector. The reason it is more difficult is it actually takes more time to evolve and develop the capabilities, both in individuals as well as institutional reform. But in some cases, I would say that this is equal, if not more important, than the two hard eyes that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. All right. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic itself, and when we're thinking about ASEAN's role in shaping the future of the global supply chain, I'd like to get your thoughts on whether or not we should be thinking of this in a more regional fashion rather than 10 neighbors that are engaged in friendly competition. What might a future ASEAN supply chain look like? And should the region perhaps think of this in more of a block fashion than actually developing their own roles in this supply chain for Southeast Asia?
Yeah, there will always be healthy competition between the ASEAN companies. This is good for country economic development and certainly good for companies to invest. However, there are certain areas where collaboration across, again, not only ASEAN countries, but across the ecosystem players is required to create leverage. For example, there are different administrative and document requirements for trade when moving products in and out of ASEAN countries or even the region. This translates into multiple forms, a lot of paperwork required to be filled by companies. The ASEAN single window, which is a great example of collaboration across ASEAN countries that has been established, is helpful to create a shared platform for customs documents that would be recognized and accepted across all ASEAN. This is a huge advantage for ASEAN to attract investment. One last point to make, you have to understand that when companies think about investment and where to locate, they don't only think about the country, they also think about the region. So as they think about, you know, relocating from country X to country A, they will first think about ASEAN as a region. Do I want to relocate to ASEAN and why? And then within that, which country within ASEAN makes sense for them? So I would say it's a combination of both healthy competition at the country level and some form of deliberate collaboration across the region.
Now, I have to ask you this question before we let you go, because we've seen signs of a decoupling starting also from the U.S.-China trade war from a few years ago, and also the COVID-19 pandemic exposing some of these supply chain vulnerabilities. Of course, the recent war between Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah.
There is a fear now raised by some people that the era of globalization is over and could spur more nearshoring and less interconnectedness. Will this be a threat or an opportunity, actually, for the region's supply chain dynamics and towards what ASEAN wants to become as a supply chain of the future?
Well, nobody can predict the future. I certainly
Fair
can.
Enough.
But definitely in the next 2 to 3 years, there will be more focus on decentralization, right? To enable more local responsiveness to any potential future disruptions. I think this will be an opportunity for ASEAN regional supply chain dynamics and to play the role, capitalizing not only on trade flows within Asia Pacific, but also within ASEAN and intra-ASEAN. Don't forget that ASEAN is becoming a very important economy for companies to serve.
Trudy Lee, partner at Kearney, thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN to discuss Kearney's recent report on the digital supply chains on ASEAN, the vulnerabilities and opportunities to define Southeast Asia supply chains of the future. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. We look forward to next time you can join us at the show. Meanwhile, do stay safe, and I hope you have a great rest of the week ahead.
Thanks very much, JP.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.